Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go.
No Sobolouros on the shelf. We need to isolate ourselves. That's what we've all been told to do. Stay indoors, save a few. That's what I want you to do. Morris has said repeatedly, keep 2 meters between you and me. Stay home and save the NHS. We'll all end up in a mess. Go to Cornwall or England. Just wash your hands and your thoughts. Scrub your nails. Put on sanitizer too. Wear rubber gloves when you open the door. Another suggestion for you. To save your health and the air goes around. We'll be safer, that's my plea. So don't help yourself. Have done what I would do. We might have got out in a month or two, but now we've been put on lockdown, and that really makes me frown because of all you stupid clowns. Just wash your hands and your thumbs, scrub your nails.
Hello everyone and welcome to the brand new podcast, Cab Class, the show where we interview London's taxi drivers. We'll be hearing a bit about their upbringing, their experiences and their do's and don'ts. But most importantly, if we think they're a classy cabbie or a dirty dog. My name's Gary, I'm your host for the show and I'm coming to you from the back of my taxi parked up in Gidsom Square on a cold winter's day. I'm joined by the man on my right. He's a very good man. He's my mate. I'm so glad he could be here today, Mark. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hi, Gary. How are you, mate? Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for coming down,
no
mate.
No problem, mate. Thank you.
Bit of a journey to get here, but yeah. I thought it was apt our first show. You know, our prototype, our scheme to go on with. We parked up in Gidsom Square.
That's mad. That's where it all started.
Brings back experiences, back memories.
The end point of our first run, Gidsom Square.
It,
and have you been here since?
That's a good question. Probably not, I don't think, no.
Who's ever been to the Manor House Station at Gidsom Square?
No, never in my life.
Well, I tell you, what a wonderful square.
It is beautiful.
Full of Georgian houses, we're in a lovely part of the world.
Which you know a bit about, being a tour guide?
I am, yeah. I know a lot about this area. And I know they're closing all the roads as well, so we've done well to get in here before they shut it. Yeah.
Now, we're going to keep it short, because I know you want to get back and watch the Chelsea game, being a season ticket holder.
Yeah, we've got Everton tonight. Yeah.
Doing well at the minute.
We're doing very well. Yeah, we weren't. I'm glad we're doing it tonight. Yeah. We're getting better.
No, I'm a big admirer of you being a season ticket holder, mate. I think being a season ticket holder is something you have to, when you meet your partner, you already have to be a ticket holder.
Yeah.
There's no way, right, you can do that halfway through the relationship.
No, you can't sling that one in a bit of bed talk. No.
You can't say, babe, I've decided I'm going to spend £1,500 a year and piss off for one day of the week.
Yeah.
Well, probably going to come back drunk,
in a wheelbarrow,
you're just going to have to deal with that. That's not an upgrade, is it?
I came with my season ticket, so
yeah. So that's what I mean. When you come with a season ticket, I think you can get away with it a bit more. Me, I should have done it earlier. I can't do it mid relationship.
And with two kids thrown in, you're not.
She's not going to see it as an add-on to me.
I've got mates who do well to watch it on telly. Yeah, and they'll go to the game. You know what I mean? They've got to put a form in on the Wednesday for can I watch Super Sunday?
Yeah.
But so the idea is that I was a senior goalie. I met my wife, and she got it. Mm. She still can't get how I leave the house at 11 a.m. and get in at 11 p.m. for a 90-minute game of football. Yeah, I can't sell that anyway. But you know, you can't just blame
traffic. And that's for the crap games.
And that's for any game. Yeah.
I never forget when you went to the cup final. What time did you leave the cup final?
I've been all around Europe watching Chelsea. All the cup finals. We go to so many cup finals, as you know.
Yeah, I walked into that one.
That was an open goal there. But
I'm saying is it has to come as part of the package being a season ticket holder.
Yeah, but not the. My wife's great because I've been all around Europe watching Chelsea, and how can you explain that? You sit there and go, like, it's going to cost £800 here. Mm. It's in and out, easy jet or whatever, and Chelsea are charging that, and you come home in a wheelbarrow and you go you've got to go. So if she says, spin it on its head, she says, we've only got a netball tournament in Budapest,
and I need an £800
cut. I need £800 to go. And I go, you don't even like netball. He says, well, it's only 90 minutes. It's the girls, we have a get lagging.
You're all right having the kids, aren't you, for the day?
We will get a bit drunk. We won't, and if we lose, I'll get a bit naughty. I've had a scene ticket since the '90s, and I can't see me giving it up.
No, I don't blame you. Not why Chelsea are doing so well. Anyway, we'll talk about that for ages. I need to introduce the man who is sitting opposite me. A lot of people know him.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Right, okay.
You're a well-known man in the trade.
What I'm really surprised about this is Gary's voice went up about an octave when he started doing this.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
How do you mean?
I don't know. He's just.
This is my regular voice.
His level seemed to go up a little bit.
He's actually.
Anyway, make himself sound more.
You're interrupting
acceptable.
My introduction here, mate. I put a nice bit about you. I'm going to say it now. I want to say that you're the man who put this all together. You are the top man. And for people who don't know, his name is Sean. Thank you, Sean, for coming.
Thank you
put
this
all together, mate.
Well, that's very kind of you. It hasn't been put together yet, though, so we'll have to.
Well, no, that is a good point. Yeah. Putting it together.
Thing is, I'm taking a bit of a background seat here because I don't know what I'm getting myself involved in.
Yes,
I've taken a bit of a risk.
I'll give you a little insight into this work. So I come to Sean with the idea. He told me to leave him alone. I pestered him and pestered him and pestered him.
And then he touched me up.
Yeah.
And I went, I'll do it.
Yeah, that was it then.
And then he was all mine.
I'll bring a silver fox along.
Honestly. Now about to tell me why he's my special mate. But anyway, we managed to get you involved. I'm so pleased you come on board with this.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But the main person who is here is our guest for today. He's my good friend. He's come down here out of the goodness of his own heart to help me out today with the prototype of this show. He's my good friend. Everyone, please put your hands together for Nicky.
Hey, Nicky. Thanks for that, mate. It's my pleasure.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm good, mate.
I'm really pleased you've come down.
My pleasure, mate. I'm glad to help.
Right, so before we start recording, we told you a bit about the show, what we're going to do. We want to know a bit about you. Most importantly, we're going to try and ascertain if you're a classy cabbie or a dirty dog. Now, it doesn't mean you're one or the other. What we're trying to find out, are you more likely to drive Princess Margaret to the hairdressers, or are you going to drive a skip down the A13? We want to know what end of the scale
you
are.
Did you say Queen Margaret?
I did say Queen Margaret. Ooh. Is she not the Queen?
No.
Rookie era already.
Not a big royal, if I'm honest. But anyway, so let's hear a bit about you, mate. We want to know where you grew up, what sort of time scale and what it was like.
So I'm from Bethnal Green all my life. Grew up in Arnold Circus, then went down to Old Bethnal Green Road, and I've been there literally for 36 years.
Yeah.
I'm a season ticket holder at Tottenham. We're doing well at the minute. So
how long you had that?
I used to have one about 12 years ago, then I had a gap, and then this recent one I've had for 4 years. So yeah. I've managed to somehow sneak the season ticket.
Was there a woman involved in the gap?
No, I've been with my girlfriend for 10 years, so I've managed to somehow pull it out of the bag.
How did you swing that one?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I took her to Madrid. I've took her to a couple of places for football. So like, so
look, still not really selling it, is it really?
Yeah, I can vouch for a couple of free holidays out.
Yeah, I can vouch for how she's a football fan. So that's how he swung that one.
Yeah, so to be fair, she lets me off. She just kind of moans about how much I watch it on TV. That's the only.
So when you left school, no one wants to leave school and be a cab driver. There's no one who's ever told their careers officer, I want to put my arm out the window and drive a black cab. So what did you do when you left school? What was your first job?
I actually left school just before my exams. I went and worked with my uncle as a tiler. And I remember this, and I only lasted about 3 months and he ended up sacking me because I remember he left
that's
me
low,
to,
you get sacked by a family member.
That's a worry. I really tried, I deserved it though
because we'd done this house.
He's already on his fifth chance.
We'd done this house actually, it was in Islington. We'd done this really nice house, kitchen, tiled it on the Friday, and he said, look, do me a favour, go back on Saturday, grout it, dust it off, like make it look nice, like, and leave. And I remember, I think I was supposed to be meeting all the boys for a beer about 4 or 5 o'clock. Mm. I grated it off, wiped it down, and there was dust everywhere. And I was like, this is going to take ages. So I was like, half rushing it, used the woman's tea towels, because I'd run out of everything. And then I ended up leaving the kitchen a mess. There was like dust everywhere. The grout wasn't washed off properly. And then she obviously rung up and complained. And then he obviously, rightly so, rung me up the next day and said, you're sacked, mate. So
he talked you out, you're doing your exams.
Yeah.
And then sacked you.
He didn't give you much of a chance, did he? Yeah.
And is this the same uncle who made you Spurs?
he's part of it, yeah.
Sounds like a lovely fella.
Yeah, he does sound nice, doesn't he?
He is, to be fair, he still looks after me now, so I can't knock him at the moment.
You'd rather he just touched you up and got it over and done with.
So the tiling, that lasted no time. And then where did you go from there?
And then I went to printers in Hackney Wick. So like my mate knew someone in there, I guess like most people.
Nepotism, yeah.
Yeah, got me in as a number two on a big 12 colour LiFo machine. And I was doing that for, I say that, 6 years. And then I went and I enjoyed it, but then I went and worked a season in Ibiza, which is like the highlight of my life.
He's got to hear a bit about this.
So I just had like a summer.
So you left Ibiza to do the knowledge? There's not many people have done that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I love the cab trade that much. So I thought I wanted to do it.
Well, did you know you had no idea it was going to be a cabbie at this point?
No chance.
So you've done a summer in Ibiza. Yeah, what was that like?
No.
It was the best time of my life by miles. And the worst thing that happened to me is when I come home, the printers give me my same job back. And it was in the recession of 08, when everyone was struggling for work. Yeah. So all the friends I'd made had all gone booked to go back next year because they didn't have no jobs. But because I had the printer's job, I ended up, I've got to keep the job because there's no telling what will happen when I come back. So I ended up.
Did you earn money in Ibiza, or was just bumming around for you?
No, I've done well. I've worked at Lineker's. We've helped build it. That first year of Lineker's, yeah.
What's he like, Wayne Lineker? Is he all right?
He was all right. I didn't talk to him that much. His son, who was my boss, Dwayne, was like brilliant with us. Nice guy. Looked after everyone well. It's brilliant to be a worker.
It was nice.
Yeah, it's really nice out there. I think it's gone down a little bit downhill now. But it was still the best time of my life. You know?
Yeah. He's out looking for love now, isn't he? I keep seeing.
I see that. He's pushing him in the pool, isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, he's the meme king now, isn't he, Wayne? So it's like anyone wants to take the piss out of him, he's just constantly the person to take the piss out of
him. He couldn't be further apart than his brother, could he? He's very left wing. Gary actually never ever got booked as a footballer. That's an amazing stat. Never got one yellow card. And he got his brother.
Well, I heard about this, and apparently he was going to get booked in his last game.
And he said, don't do that.
And he said, look, he's never been booked. And he got out of it.
How can you go a whole football career without being booked?
Yeah, he did have a good career, though, didn't he?
He's a great player.
He wouldn't have lasted well over the Marses.
It was no Doug. It was no Costa, was he? Diego. You know, when you see someone that's going around who wants a yellow card before he's even kicked off.
Yeah, being a Tottenham striker, I'll always support him. But yeah, he's been brilliant. And then during the print, while I was a printer, there was like one of my good mates. He was a number two as well, and he was doing the knowledge. And for years, I was telling him like you're wasting your time, just like no one's gonna be using cabs and all this. And then like. after working from
you was that fella then.
Yeah,
I was like, fella, that we all had on our ear when we was learning knowledge.
You're wasting your time doing all that.
Yeah, but you weren't even a cabbie. Normally a cabbie would tell you that, wouldn't they? Yeah. You're wasting your time, mate.
I think we all had it when we was doing the knowledge. Yeah. That one man goes, you're wasting your time. Look, do the bricklaying. You know, that's what he said.
I remember a mate telling me, I thought you were cleverer than that.
Oh,
where'd you go with that? So you do the knowledge then?
It's all about sweep your legs away.
Yeah, I thought you was clever then.
Yeah, so then I...
So you started the knowledge while in the print?
Yeah, the same story.
How long ago was this?
I passed that in 2013, so I must have started it 2010, end of 2009, I imagine. Yeah, so he would already been doing it for 2.5 years, 3 years, and got me into it. I'd finished and passed. And he'd still, I think he took another 5 years after.
Is he passed eventually?
Yeah, he's passed out now, so.
He was doing it his way.
And the thing is, he was doing it he was calling over a lot. He obviously wasn't doing it that well, but I won't name him, but he did get out. And he's still a printer today and a cabbie, so I imagine he's not working too much in the cab today.
But maybe turn out to be the smartest one of us all.
How must he have felt though? You started it after him and then went out before him.
At one point in the printers, there was four blokes all on the knowledge. Yeah. Like, because there's a couple that come in that had already been doing it. So we was all number two. So the number ones would be at the front of the machine doing all the artwork, and all the three of us, when we was on the same shift, would be at the back of the machine all calling over each other. So it was brilliant for that.
When I worked in the printer, there were so many cab drivers. There was no one to rank.
Yeah.
In the front, you know, it was unreal because of the shifts that you worked. Well, I think night work.
It's either a printer or a fireman. There's like the two jobs that seem to meet.
I think to undertake the knowledge, you can't work 9 to 5. I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
Did you, Sean? What was
yeah,
you
I worked 9 to 5. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, doing the knowledge. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
No, I was able to live and breathe it. I worked in theatre on a night. I worked backstage.
Yeah.
And I was, but I knew the show inside out, so I could just sit there.
And
I could
evenings.
Just revise. It was evenings.
Yeah.
So I could do it all day.
Yeah.
And then just revise on an evening, and that was it. So I got out pretty quick.
Yeah. You know, I took ages to get out. My job was getting better and better in the print, and I just weren't hungry
enough. You need to be committed.
You need to be hungry. You need to. I remember an examiner saying to me, are you learning London? Where'd you go with that? Where'd you go with that? I said, oh no, I'm in the wrong room. It's just not Birmingham. Oh no, sorry mate. Oh, my mistake. Where'd you go with that? I go, yes. I said, obviously not very well. And he went, yes, that's the first thing you've been correct with today. Not very well. I thought, oh right, that's the end of that.
I think the trouble is, if you do it part-time, I think it would take you forever to get... Because momentum begets momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So if you do it full-time, you're always building
that's
on it.
That's right, yeah.
You're not regressing.
Someone said to me, a good analogy is like spinning plates, yeah? And if you do stop doing the knowledge, the plates fall down and you've got to restart again. And it's the mixture between calling back, runs... And doing it all, and if you do start playing around with it, it eats you up, doesn't it? You're never going to get out.
Like I found, if you had 2 weeks off, when you got back trying to call over or call in points, I remember going on my first holiday with my current girlfriend, and it was like I'd have to spend 2 hours a day.
You lost one on the journey.
Yeah, so I used to spend 2 hours a day, and this is when we were first kind of dating. I think we'd only been together for a year. And we went on this holiday, and I was like calling over for 2 hours on my own.
Surprised that didn't work. Surprised it didn't work.
Yeah.
Actually, that's easily done, losing someone on the way. I mean, I bumped into a woman. I was going up East Heath Street in Hampstead. Does that still exist?
Yeah. I don't know, mate. I don't know. I think so.
No, it's been closed off.
At present, it does, I think. Yeah.
I was on my scooter going up there, so I was on the knowledge, and this woman stopped me, and she said, are you doing the knowledge? I said, yes. She said, I'll warn you now, my husband did it, and by God, it killed him. She just randomly stopped.
We've all got it. I'll never forget, I was on my motorbike down Wardour Street, and an old boy pulled up to me. He went, hello, son. I said, yes, hello, mate. He said, you're doing the knowledge? I said, yes. He went, do yourself a favour. I went, yeah. He went, go on.
I thought, oh, right.
You knew that, didn't you?
But anyway, so you've decided to do the knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, me and you called over for a bit of time together, Nick.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, okay. Me and Nicky, we did a bit of time together. I think it was about 6 months. Every night after work, I used to drive around to Nicky's, and I'd go in his house, and we'd call over for 2-3 hours. And every night, without fail, his missus would walk in, look at me with a look that could kill, as if to say, he's here again, Nick. Nicky's here again in my ass. I've just got home from work. I want to relax. I want to put my PJs on and easier. But we got through it, mate. He That's passed out before me, so they're not go on my own way. So, but it was a good time.
Yeah, it was. You helped me kick on that last bit, so yeah, it was good.
Who was the examiner? No, I know who I did, but who was the examiner you feared? Who was the one you didn't want to go up against?
I think that most people, especially whoever done the knowledge at the same time as us, was gunning. But to be fair, I was 3-3 on... I was 3-3 on 56s.
Yeah.
And I'd never had gunning before. And then he called me in for my like pivotal 56 appearance. And he give me the drop. And then I had him 3 times after that. And he just deed me every time
I had him 3 times to kill me. Honestly, the things he'd come out with, I've never done one of his lines, honestly, in a cab. You never would. It was like from Park Royal, Omerton, wasn't it? Honestly, awful, awful lines.
Did you have an examiner that you liked?
Yes.
Thomas? Yeah.
What was his name? Was it O'Connor? Mr. O'Connor, was that it?
Yeah, it was one of them, yeah.
It was very nice.
Me and Sean Price. We predate this.
Yeah, 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 you all know Mr. Price, he was good.
Oh, Mr. Price was lovely. Everybody wanted Mr. Price.
He was so nice. He gave me a drop to 21s.
Penton Street then?
Yeah, Penton Street, yeah.
Was it as scary as everyone says, or...?
I guess it was, but I think at the time there was a lot of buildings like that, wasn't there? So if you was in there, it was a bit like the cafes you went to as well.
In Penton Street, it was on the first floor, and at one time they was renovating it, and they did it in the basement, and the basement was a goods area, and it was really cold, and it just for one or two appearances we were down there, and as we all sat there, you know, no one talks to each other, and in this goods area there was this area that had a sign up that's got please ring. Right, all sitting there, and you can hear these little makeshift rooms where people was having their examinations. And this knowledge boy's come in, and we're all sitting there, and he's walked up to this bell, and we're all going, no, he ain't gonna ring it. This is a good theory, this ain't what you gotta do. It goes, here's the bell, and he just stands there, no one says a word to him, right? Next thing, an examiner's come out and gone to him, have you just rang that bell? And he goes, yes, sir. He goes, yes, sir. It says, please ring. He says, have you just rang that bell again to him, right? And toots and goes back in, and he sits down and looks as if to say, not one of you told me not to ring that bell. You out of all that. And all like,
we don't want to get a D, mate. We want you to be the sacrificial lamb.
I bet his first point was Bell Street.
The Star Cafe used to be opposite. Do you remember that? And that's where we all used to sit before appearances and after appearances.
That's right.
And I was in there once, and there was an examiner, you might remember him, his name was Bert, I think. Mr. Bert, nobody wanted Bert, he was one of them, you know, that would have it in for you, or seemingly have it in for you. And I was sitting in there, and I knew the person who did the points outside, took the points. She was sitting in there with me, and apparently Bert came in, and she went, that's Mr. Bert. So we all straightened ourselves up, right, we all sat there, all respectable. And he went up, got his coffee, and he come back to our table, and he went, are you Mr. James, to me? I went, no, sir, I'm Mr. Day, because my last name's Day. And he looked down and he said, you'll do, follow me.
Oh, no,
from out the calf opposite. And I was trotting behind him, and he was walking up the stairs, and he went, can you believe I've had to get my own coffee? I said, I'd have got it for you.
That's a great one, yeah. You know. And I've left my bacon sandwich.
And it was the worst appearance I have ever had. And he scored me. He gave me a C. And I think we was the first, it might have been the first year where they was actually telling you what he scored. And he gave me a C. And I think it was because he took me out of the calf. So good on him. But
that's a journey across.
That's a long walk.
That's an awful walk. Penton Street was nervous. It was nervy, and I can remember I lost my badge, and getting scared just going up there, even though you're a cab driver. And I went up to window one, and I've said I've lost my badge, and the lady said, I was window three, so I'll go to window three, and she went to window three. and I've gone, oh my God, the same woman. And I'm thinking, oh, you couldn't deal with me at window one. So she goes, what did you say? I said, I've lost my badge. Fill this form in. I went, even scared, and you're out. You know, you'd like to say to her, yeah, but you can't. You're a cab driver. Yeah. And what made me laugh, Sean will probably know, it was 15p to renew my badge.
That's 15p.
Yeah, where did they come up with that figure? I'll just give it to you.
Yeah, yeah. It's 15p. I don't know what it is now. I don't know.
I think it's a lot more now.
Definitely. Oh, no, I know. I think it's about 45 quid.
Really?
But yeah, you can't have your same number again. I would have paid £100 to have my original number.
Everybody
but
would.
You can't. They just said, no, it's got to be a new number.
Especially when there are two badge and they've lost their badge and now they're an 8 badge.
Yeah. And then they have to tell everyone.
I love it. Yeah, yeah, I like when they find the new. Formally.
Formally. Would you ever do that? The best one I saw was 7-6 blah blah blah, formerly 7-5 blah blah blah. No one cares.
It's an horrible feeling when you lose your badge. I lost it at Chelsea fan. I was watching Chelsea play. I remember the goal and everything. And I was so upset that I've lost it. It was played on my mind. Looked everywhere. I knew I'd lost it at the game because I'd parked the cab up, had it on, and lost it. When I got home, it weren't there. But it, and if you know they're not going to give you the same badge and you ask the question, can't I have the same number?
Well, even before us, if you predate even us, right, then you used to go up there and they used to bring out a box and you just used to take your pick. Badges in there, you could go, oh yeah, I'll have that one.
Is it true? I'm not sure how true it is. Years ago, you used to be able to take, say your dad was a cab driver and he was two blah, 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 you used to be able to pass that down.
Or bequeath it, like.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure. I'm sure one of the listeners will be able to tell us if that's true or false. Yeah. But yeah, I believe so. So that's why sometimes I'm driving around and I see a cab driver and he's got a number like 3 and I think, he don't look much older than me. He must have passed that when he was 5.
How proud is that? That's mad. You see an identifier, a little number in the middle. Yeah. That's doing it, isn't it?
I think the lowest number I think I've seen is 50. Like
50?
Or 1050. Like a 150.
So you passed out. Yeah. Stayed in the same area.
Yeah. Still in Bethnal Green. Literally, I've just moved to Upper Leighton Stone.
Upper Leighton Stone.
When did they build that up a bit?
I think as soon as I moved. For me.
They didn't build it. They just renamed it.
They knew I was coming, so they thought, we'll make it all nice and gentrified.
That's an estate agent spin on that.
They've basically just chucked an extra £200 a month on the rent.
The best one I've seen is Aberfeldy Village. It's a block of flats stuck between Poplar and Bow. It's a block of flats, but that block of flats is a village. I don't know how that works by definition, but it's certainly, I've not seen no chickens or
Abbeyville Village in Clapham, isn't you? That's just Abbeyville Road, but they're just calling about a row of 9 or 10 restaurants and shops.
I remember I had a job and a woman years ago asked me for Connaught Village and I'd never knew Connaught Street, and I was thinking,
so was it the Blairs?
I know Connaught Street, but I don't know the village. And she went, just keep going forward, like thinking that I'm an idiot, which I obviously must have been when I got there. She went, this is the village. I went, this cafe and pub? She went, sorry, my mistake.
Well, we've all done that. I mean, they've got in Dulwich, please, and then you end up, Nunhead or Peckham, and you go, what part of Dulwich is this, mate?
Yeah. Dulwich,
no one's ever got in a cab and got Nunhead.
Well, I've got one. Please, can you take me to Shea Boo? This must be a new restaurant. I'm trying to do the secret Google. Shea Boo. I'm sure that's made there, Shea Boo. Shea Boo. Shepherd's Bush. I was sick in my mouth a bit, but. anyway.
I can still smell it.
So you pass out, you're now a taxi driver.
Really?
I'm a butter boy anyway.
No, you ain't renewed your title. Once you've renewed it, is
it or is it 3 times? Well, if you've been driving a cab for 30-40 years, you're a butter boy.
Well, according to someone who's been driving it 37 years. Yeah. Right, I want to ask you a few questions about being a cabbie. Firstly, I want to know, do you have any superstitions? Now, what I mean by superstitions, I think we've all got these little idiosyncrasies. I think that's the word. So, if I hadn't had a job for a while, what I'd do is I'd change the radio station, and I believe that'll get me a job. Yeah, I know, it's weird, but it works. Have you got any little superstitions like that?
Nah, I always have to leave an area. I don't do, I know some drivers do laps of the same thing, but if I'll drive through a place and I'll never lap it twice.
I think that's unusual.
I always leave the next.
I do.
I
normally stay in the same sort of manner that I think.
I've never really gone round in a circle. The only circle I've ever done really is Harley Street, and then coming back up Wimpole. That's the only circle.
No wonder you never get a job.
I'm probably one of the worst cabbies out there.
We actually, I want to drop him in here, but when we have a bad day, we say we're having a nicky.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not too nice.
That means you've earned nothing.
Yeah, that means you're earned.
So you actually
day.
Slang word in the trade, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the Spurs section, I think, that's why.
What cab you driving, Nick?
I got a TX4.
TX4, alright, so you're still killing kids.
Yeah.
Okay. do you rent or own there?
Rent that one.
You rent it? Yeah, oh, yeah. Renter. Yeah. I've got to be honest, that puts you already, before we played the game, you go down a peg on
really?
The scale of dirty dot. Yeah.
You like the TX4, don't you? Well, at least you're not, you might be killing kids, but you're not like Gary, who's got an arse like a blood orange because he's sitting on the back.
Yeah. he can't see anyone because his wing moves.
Blood orange.
Don't worry about it, mate. They come to me in this thing.
You've got a leather arse. You've got to get some milk and come back in 8 hours.
Yeah.
One of them, we need some bread and milk. Cassie says, yeah, go and get a loaf. You all right? Where you been, Cal? I was at Heathrow. You can be what happened. I was in Tesco Extra. I don't know. This fella said to me, next thing, I'm doing 3 hours at the feeder.
Honestly, I get out of here sometimes like a baby deer. Anyway, well, what was I going to say? So, yeah, you're a renter.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing about renting? What is the thing that you like and dislike? So, obviously, liking, I imagine, for most people, rent is the fact that you haven't got the stress. You know, you ain't got to get cab plated. You ain't worried about if it picks up a little ding here and there. You know, all that stress is free. But what drives it? Because I used to rent, and my biggest pet hate about renting was when you'd have to change cab over and get into someone else's cab.
The temporary cab's the worst.
Is the worst.
I remember
when you get in and find another man's nail clippings.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
Yeah. I remember taking the visor down, and there was a dirty knife and fork sitting there.
Oh, good lord!
Yeah, I just thought, I can't.
Oh. An old newspaper and every cab's got its own weird thing, especially with older rental cabs. There's always something that don't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get yeah, you know, the steering's a bit off, you know, like you've got to constantly drive to the left to pull it in the right. It's a bit they're a bit like that, and then the speedometer don't work. Yeah. You know, all these mad sort of
things. I tell you, one of the worst things, because once my own cab, like I've had for ages, I've got folded paper everywhere, so it stops all the little squeaks. So when you get into a temporary one, you just got to drive around with everything annoying you.
God,
with a little
really
noise.
Anal.
Yeah, but it's
that's not a piece of paper. Yeah.
That's a
because I'm sitting.
It is quite anal.
Yeah, because I'm sitting in it so long, and you got the little noises annoying me in my ear. So I was like, I spend ages trying to like make sure like, I stop.
I'll tell you what's murder when you're in a rental cab as well, and you get passengers in. If you ever have to give a safety speech beforehand, you know it's a bad cab. Listen, mate, what you want to do, don't use that window, right? Don't use that window, and that seatbelt doesn't work properly.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just
avoid
that.
And the exits are either side, and they will light up when we crash.
But this exit doesn't open all the way, all right? And you might hear a few funny noises. I'm glad we've got that out of the way. Where would you like to go?
Yeah,
safely, if you can.
So you're going to buy a cab or not? I mean, the trade is a bit... want to go and put your money into one of these, would you?
Not yet. If things look a little bit more solid in a year's time, I think I'd definitely commit.
This
to
is
buy
the one.
One.
This is a great cabin.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh yeah,
have it is a great.
It is
cab.
A nice cab. Just for the sake, this has got the new LEVC cab, which is lovely. But as we all know, it is a mortgage.
You don't kill children, though, do you?
We don't. We don't shrink lungs. You know, we don't give kids asthma, and we can use beach streets. So, you know, I think it's worth. I think it's worth the £70,000.
You imagine £900 a month, but you can use the extra road.
I don't know if they're putting that as part of their sales pitch. Now,
yeah,
you know,
I think they are. I think it's in their adverts.
Oh, though. Shut up, it ain't.
Nah, cool.
No, good. I think you had me there. All right, mate. All right. So you've been driving a cab a while. Got any stories? Any fares that really stick out in your mind? You know, I know one you've told me, which I think is a classic. But I don't know how embarrassed you are to tell it.
I think the one that comes to my head all the time is I had a phase where it was like a space of a month. I picked up a couple of famous people.
Does this sound like the one, Gary?
No, I'm not listening.
I want the one.
The one. I've mentioned it's going to have to come out, but go on.
I picked up a couple of famous people relatively close to each other, and then a month later, both of them were dead.
I remember this. We was calling you the Aaron Ramsey of the cab truck.
Yeah, and I remember, so I was driving, and then after these two had died, I ended up seeing someone I did like.
Come on, pick them up.
No. Like, actually, I was like, don't put your hand up. And he didn't. I was like, oh, thank God.
I don't want to kill you, man. Yeah,
so no. Like,
and is he still alive?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
he's done well there.
So I've done, yeah, I saved his life, I think.
Can you tell us what these famous people were?
The ones that have died were Alan Rickman and Terry Wogan.
And you done Chaz and all, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, was it Chaz or Dave?
Yeah, Chaz it was. Yeah, yeah, Chaz and Dave. Chaz, that was a year later.
Yeah, it was.
But, yeah, and the guy who I didn't want to get in the cab was Teddy Sheringham. So he's like one of my childhood heroes.
I'd have picked him up.
Oh, I'd have run him over.
Did you drive past him?
Yeah, no, he didn't put his hand up. I was driving empty.
I was thinking,
oh, please don't put your hand up.
He probably saw you and put his hand down.
He knew, mate, yeah.
The Black Widow.
But why was she so adverse to picking him up?
It's because literally
every celebrity who's picking up, they died.
Yeah, yeah. It's only in that same month. It's like that these two famous people had died, and I was thinking I only had them in the cab.
But
last
I guess
month.
The law of statistics is that he probably would survive.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We're a superstitious bunch.
I didn't want to take any chances.
So really, now you could use it to your advantage. If there's any celebrity that you can't stand, park up outside their house. Our cup's time with your light on and say, oh, get in, I'll drop you down there.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been parked up outside Kate Burley's house for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's see. Actually, I pulled you up on it, didn't I? Can we talk about Findon?
No? I don't know.
You don't talk about it. Honestly, this will blow your mind, this one. This blew my mind.
So I picked this guy up on a. Just off Edgware Road, and he was like, to me, I thought he was just a bit wired. He just like had sunglasses on, and he was a bit like chatting really quick. He was going up, a bit paranoid. I was thinking, a bit iffy when he was in the back.
But he had a bugle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And then he was like, can you just drive me around? I've got to meet someone at 1 o'clock. And this was about 20 to 1. He went, just drive anywhere you want. I was thinking,
where'd you go? Harley Street.
This is a bit weird. So I thought I'd started driving. I went, where have we got to go to? And he went. I'm supposed to be going for dinner, so and so. Can I just keep driving? I'll let you know. Look, I'll pay. Like he showed me his money. He's like, I'm gonna pay. And he went, can you just stop at the shop, get some fags? And I was like, all right, can you? And he said, can you do it for me? And I went, no, not. You can get out. He said, nah, yeah, I'll give you some money and I'll pay you to go.
You're a gentleman, you
yeah.
Know,
and I thought, so I went there. He gave me 20 quid. I think the fags and that come to like 12 quid. And he went, you keep the change. So I thought. Right, that's a nice tip. Got back in, I went, what about, do you want to go to meet this, whatever your appointment was? He was like, no, can we just keep driving? And then so I thought, all right, it's a little bit weird, but I thought, it's to me, the meter's on, I'm working. And then we were driving down the road, about 5 minutes later, he's going, is it right if I put some money in the tray and you just take it? And I was like, what do you mean? He went, well, can I just give you some money and you just take it? I went, yeah, you can give me all your money. Everything you've got, if you want.
I'm not
going to
say no to that.
So he literally put a £20 note through the thing, and I've took it, and I've gone, and he's like, oh, thanks for that. He's going, like, people don't really like doing it. Like, and I was thinking, what do you mean? I was like, I just like to give people money. So, to cut a long story short, I drove this guy around for about 2 hours, and nearly every 20 minutes, he kept putting £20 notes through the thing.
Oh,
and he was obviously one of them kinky fellas that
what happened is Nicky was blown away. He rung me up. He said, oh, I'm not sure, I feel a bit uneasy about this job. I've got this fella, he keeps paying me money. I said, right, this don't sound like a bad job, Nick. He said, no, you don't understand, Gal.
He said,
I'm not sure about this fella, he keeps putting money through. Right, it turns out he spoke to his missus about it, and it turns out it was called Findom. It's financial domination.
Yeah,
now what it is with these people is they get aroused by giving people money.
It's the kind of thing I'd do if I've got money.
Yeah.
Is the maddest fetish going?
I could do with a few more passengers like
that. When he was saying to me, oh, look, I like giving people money, I went, look, as long as you don't do anything in the back, I'm fine with it. Like, and he's like, because we stopped for a fag, and then when he'd get out and have a fag, and he'd chat like a normal person, and then as soon as he got back in the cab, then he would go a bit...
Was he a bit sleazy? Yeah, or?
He asked, he said, oh, can you tell me to pay at one? He went, oh, tell me to pay. And I was like, what do you mean? He went, like, say, pay me. And I was like, so I was driving. I went, oh, pay me, like, through the mic. And then
pay me.
And then he was like, just, and then he put the money through. So I thought, and he was like, yeah, and you can obviously tell he was liking it. But
this is brilliant.
Then in my head, I was thinking, imagine if I could just kept going, pay me, every 5 minutes, pay me. And he like,
what did you end up with?
Story.
What did you end up with? How much?
The whole job ended up being about 280 quid for about an hour and a half's work.
You weren't
but it got
dominant.
To the point, I was, because I was a little bit suspect on it, I was asking him. I wanted him out, but yeah. I didn't want him out.
Yeah, but you was feeding into his domination. Yeah, it was only 280 quid.
I didn't know what, I didn't know if he was going to do anything in the back, so I was half wanted him out, thinking that side of it. But then I was also like, this is going to be one of the best shifts I've ever had, so I was like keeping him. But yeah, end up being like a good
day. At the end of the day,
I'd love to pick him up today if I could find him.
Yeah. Now would be a good time. Yeah. Be driving around for months looking for him.
Yeah.
He wasn't driving around bollock naked or anything, was he?
There won't be a reason. Oh my God.
It was great. It really blew my mind. I never knew this was a thing, but it's a real thing.
Where did it end? Did it end at his house?
I took him back to where I picked him up.
Do you remember back to square one?
Yeah.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Ended up in the basement.
That's cost him touching £300 to go back to where he was.
But he was saying he's been in other cabs. And they don't have it. They kick him out.
Not after this pandemic. They'll be kicking him in the car.
They're doing a lot worse. Yeah.
It'll be a rank.
That was pretty bad. To be fair, I forgot about that story somehow.
Yeah, sorry to bring that up, Nick. But honestly, when he told me, it blew my mind. I had to Google it, and it's a real thing. You know, these people, they will pay. Like, it's what gets them off, giving people money.
He wanted me to. Like, I was just saying, pay me, but I guess his ultimate fancy would be someone being more, like demanding. Yeah, I think I was his work. I haven't seen him since. I must have not been good enough.
No, he wasn't really his type.
Don't know. I drive past where I picked him up every day, just in case. So.
I'll tell you what's amazing me more than that story, because that's a fantastic story, is that it's dark in here and Gary's got the schedule and he's got the questions. And it's pitch black. We've been sitting here. It's gone dark, and he's still reading.
He's good.
Got young eyes.
Young eyes. How can you see what you're reading?
It's carrots.
Can't
really. I'm holding it up at the streetlight.
I've got some notes here, but I ain't got them out.
Let Gary do it. Boner.
Good story.
Yeah, it's a brilliant story. So, just a quick one then. I want to know something that cabbies do that really gets your goat, that really winds you up. I'll give you an example. No one cabbie. Silly, really, but it really won't. No one cabbie stare. What is that with a cabbie stare? They drive past and they follow you. Their head goes all the way around like the Exorcist. And you're watching your thing, and you don't want to do it back because you don't want to get. Don't want to go, you look. Like, you know, so you're sort of, like, you're giving them the sort of side eyes. You know, what is going on? Something wrong with my cab? Why not got me lights on? You're really wondering. But it turns out he just wants to give you the stare.
That might be a fetish. Have you looked that up?
Well, apparently it's called stare dom. It's just something that cabbies do that I find very strange. We all do it. We must do it ourselves without doing it. Without noticing. Sorry, you know, you just do the stare as they drive past. It might be a bit. Oh, don't I know him?
I think if you're behind a cabbie that's empty, and they seem like they're curb crawling, like because they're like trying to keep their eye out for a fare. And
no, you've got, no, like, they're curb crawling.
They're looking for thin dom.
Probably.
What do you mean? So you're driving along, you're
going like
10 miles
an hour, trying to concentrate on where a fare.
But you can't overtake
them,
because that will be a dog move.
That's probably one of my. That and the stare thing. I don't mind, because I don't mind that when you look across and you give each other the old cabbie nod.
Oh, the old nod.
But you do get a lot of stares, and it's like, oh, do I know him, or does he know me?
Yeah, but it really makes me self-conscious. I thought, well, what's he stare like? I ain't done him over. Oh, no, he's not doing a U-turn, is he? Jesus Christ. But yeah, it's something. Anything you fellas got? Anything that cabbies do?
I would, if the cabbie in front of me's got his light on, I know it's different, heavy cabs got their light on, but I would then take the next left and just change how I'm going to go. But then when I've done that left, I was thinking, I need the next one. I would never have met this person had I
gone the way.
I sleep better now. Yeah. But no, it's something like that. I think if you're following the couple of yellow lights, just go off left, and then when you pick someone up who's a bit drunk or something, I'd have stayed in the other mode. I never would have met him.
Changes the course of your evening, doesn't it?
Sliding doors, isn't it?
Yeah. You're a day worker, aren't you, Nick? Do you do the evenings now?
I had like a lunch to midnight shift.
I think more and more people doing that shift now, you know.
Yeah.
They're breaking the mould of the day shift and moving later into the evenings. Something that we're all having to take.
They need the nightlife back, don't we? Eventually, when this pandemic's over, you know, the honeypot is the middle with the theatres and that. That's the way I work in the evenings. And it's such a shame you're seeing it.
you know, we know why, but once that start reopening, then the hours will change and people like Nicky may change or you go back to working late.
Although I've got to say, I've never known Nicky to finish a shift all the years I've known him.
Well, he's
I'll tell you now, Nick, 11, 12, 8 o'clock, I see him texting our WhatsApp group, oh, what a goal.
He's in upper ratings, though.
Yeah, he's in upper ratings. I'm definitely not the hardest working cabbie, I must admit.
You're still living off the money off that fella, aren't you?
All you got to do is one of them a week.
He should have took his number. I'm not being funny. He weren't hurting you, was he?
Nah.
You took his money.
Yeah, you took it quick enough.
Every time I drive past where I picked him up, I look out for him every day.
And dream.
Is that your best ever fare, money-wise?
I couldn't believe it. I think the fare was like 78 quid or 80 quid.
Did you still charge him at the end, like stop the meter and say, that's 78 pound after with all that other money?
Yeah.
That's strange.
And I wonder how much money he actually had on.
When he got in first, he said some story about he's just flown over from New York. And I just thought he'd just been out all night doing a load of gear. Yeah. And he was just a bit wired, but he got in and he was obviously just starting his night, if that made sense. I think it's like over 200 quid in notes through the trade. Yeah. I'd love to have it again. Can't deny.
I'd love to have that one. Anyway, I think we've got to know a bit about you, Nick. We've done a bit about your background, a bit about your taxi life. Verdict so far, taxi seems to be a.
He's a nice man.
I don't think he's a dirty dog. I know him too well to know he's not a dirty dog. He's very polite. He's got good customer service.
He's new to the trade.
And he was worth 280 quid.
Fell in love with the back of his head.
But what I want to know really is if you're a classy cabbie or a dirty dog. Now, for anyone who's listening to this, it doesn't mean you're a real dirty dog, it doesn't mean you're real class, it's a scale. We want to know what end of the scale are you. Ultimately, we want more people to be classy than we do dirty, but you know, you're the master of your own downfall here. So, right, I'm going to start off with a list of questions. I want to, nice and honestly, open up.
I'll try my best.
And we'll work it out, we'll sort of score it as we go. Right, have you ever had to fuel up while you've got a passenger on?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this a current thing? Do you have to do this often, or is it a one-off?
It was because it was I got a flyer and I weren't going to let him go. So I said to him at the start, I went, look, mate.
I did it. I've done it.
I'll take some money off at the end, but I just got to put some diesel in.
Yeah, I've done it. So I had two young girls going to Luton. It was late in the shift and I didn't have much fuel. And I didn't tell them I was going to pull in, and I had to pull in and get fuel because I thought I'd tell them that I was so scared they was going to bail on me.
Yeah.
I thought I'll just pull in and then explain pre-fill up. Oh, sorry, ladies, you know, I had to get some fuel to get you there. But I don't think that's a classy look.
We've all done it.
And then you're getting a coffee and a sandwich. Or you're at Piccolo's.
You've got to ask them if they want something.
That's a great call. That's a good one.
And it sort of takes the bit of the edge off that. All right, move on to our next one. Do you wear T-shirts while you're driving a cab?
No, he wears a singlet, a nice little velvet thong.
I wear a T-shirt,
You wear a T-shirt. See, I don't think the T-shirt is a good look.
I'm not the smartest dressed, I'd admit.
No, I can concur.
I don't wear tracksuits or anything, but I don't wear...
I mean, is this typical? What you're wearing now, is this typical?
I don't wear this.
Nicky's wearing a hoodie and trackies.
This is a day off for me.
Yeah.
But I don't wear...
It's in his loungewear.
Yeah. I don't wear... I'm not like a smart polo top.
Yes, I think at a minimum, you should have a polo top on. If you're going to be in the classy cabbie bracket, I think at least at minimum, you need a polo top. Listen, we're all mid-range here. I think we're all edging... middle of the scale, so it's not a problem, you know. I think most cab drivers are
trying to break the caricature and we all wear polo tops?
Not necessarily a polo top, but you
wear a shirt, Sean, would you
wear?
I've seen a couple of a nice Lonsdale one, a shirt and tie. Gentleman quite regularly wears a white shirt I look at him and I think that man oozes class. I think really we should all wear it. We're not going to wear a certain tie. It's probably half the reason we got into the job. But I think that is a real classy look. And I think just for me, it's a personal thing. I don't think a t-shirt is the most professional look. I don't mean it's a classy look, but I also don't oppose people wearing it. You've done the knowledge, you wear what you want. But
I always wear shoes or trainers. I've never owned flip-flops or anything like that.
That's actually dangerous. No, no, listen, no, you're going to the lowest of the scale if you've got your flip-flops.
If you wear flip-flops or a vest, give up your badge, right, and drive a skip. Yeah, tailgate a woman with kids in the car down the A30 at 70 mile an hour with the shit all flying out the back. You should be a skip driver. Right. Okay. Right. Next one. Do you eat on the go? Why no. Eat on the go? No, I mean, have you got a sandwich in hand while you're driving?
Nah. I always eat when I have a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eat in the cab.
Yeah. I'm too messy. That's why. I'll end up crashing.
I don't think that's a good look. Sandwich in hand. Baguette in hand, shove it down your gate, driving down Piccadilly.
If you get flagged, then you got a sandwich hanging out your mouth.
It's a good way to change your luck, though, isn't it? If you ain't been out for ages,
you can start eating a baguette
because you know I'm going to get out now.
Well, that's like when you fart in the cab, isn't it? You know, as soon as you fart in the cab, you're going to get a fear.
Mine is if I need a toilet, then I'm guaranteed to get a job. I've been waiting for 2 hours, and then a job will come as soon as I'm desperate for the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay, have I got any more? Has anyone else got any questions?
Well, it does beg the question, doesn't it? Do you carry a bottle around with you?
No. Oh.
What, the PISS bottle, the piss bottle?
No.
Most day drivers don't. There's enough places to go.
They're getting limited lately.
I'll be honest, one of my biggest bugbears with the trade is the limited access we have to the toilet. And how funny people are with us using this. Now, I know there's a few bad ones out there who have given us a bad name with the toilet facilities, but I think it's inhumane not to allow someone to use the toilet.
There it is, yeah.
Extremely inhumane. But needless, and I know there's not many places we can go, but if you're emptying a piss bottle at a rank, you're a dirty dog.
Oh, without a doubt, it's the lowest of the scale, isn't it?
Yeah. We've all been on Charing Cross and we know it, pen and inks.
Yeah, I've been in pain a few times trying to hold it for a toilet, so
especially when it's that steamy morning.
The
different flavours.
I like that.
Oh yeah.
No, it's a good call though. The one where you break the seal. When you break the seal, that first one.
It's just that the old Euston rank was one of the worst.
The slope, the cave.
I don't know how drivers do it. I don't know. Surely there's piss everywhere in their cab.
It was like the JD Sports showroom down there, wasn't it? You know, the Lonsdale trackies.
Yeah.
No, I am glad they've done the upper ground parking at Euston.
Yeah.
That was an hard rank. When I first passed out, what am I doing? I'm going down there. No one teaches these stations, do they? You pass the knowledge, you know the ins and outs of the roads, but the etiquette at stations was something that played on my mind for a while, you know, early doors.
I remember messing up at Paddington one of my first days.
Remember the number plate.
So I've gone behind a cab, not really realising I've got to take note of whatever, the one on the other side to make so you pull it through.
Yeah.
And I've just obviously gone in right behind another cabbie and took the job and then obviously got a bollocking, rightly so.
I've seen some rules.
Once you've done it once, you won't do it again, will you? But you've got to learn.
They treat you like you've nicked their money.
They do. Oh, God, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, it took a bollocking to learn it, but
I think some of them are waiting. I think they want you to make a mistake. I think they want you to make, sorry, just a.
Just leave it, it's alright.
Little techie floor there, songs on top of it. But yeah, no, I think they want you to make a mistake. Yeah, not literally. Right. Any other questions, Mark?
No, I think we're getting a good picture of him. I mean, other than the Spurs season ticket, that from the beginning, I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah, but you got to give me extra points for us doing well at the moment.
I noticed that out of the 20,000 cabbies, you put your hand up first to do this little podcast because Spurs are top of the league.
He's doing everything. I'm up on the calendar this year.
I've got to make the most of it because soon we'll be back to where we belong, I imagine, mid-table.
Well, you've got a winner as a manager. That's helped, mate.
Yeah, I like him. He's entertaining one way or the other. He's good to watch.
Not the way you play football, ain't entertaining.
But I'll take it for a couple of years if we can get a trophy.
Do you think you'll win the league this year?
No.
I hope
top four and a trophy or two, like a league
or two.
Cup.
Or two. Jesus. Yeah.
I've got my eye on the League Cup and the Europa League.
Oh, that's all then.
Yeah, so hopefully.
This
is, this is the
same.
Ain't one nothing for years, then all of a sudden you're going to nick a couple.
Yeah,
the year ends in one next year, doesn't
it?
The
big question is, have you sung Jose Mourinho?
Yeah.
Oh!
Of course I have.
Did that hurt? Did it feel right? How did it feel? Did it feel right singing Jose Mourinho?
Kind of felt right.
Yeah. How did it feel in your stomach?
As soon as you win your first game, everyone forgets.
Oh, no. You're going to have Pol Pot.
That is a fickle
your
fan,
team,
you're saying that. That's a fickle fan.
You're going to have Pol Pot in charge of the team. Pol Pot! Pol Pot!
It's the same with you and Sol Campbell.
No, we loved him on day one. He was always a gooner, wasn't he, really?
Well, I say a hidden one.
Yeah, but he done the dirty on you, his boys, didn't he?
Yeah. I remember that was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my life. That's when I had a season ticket when Campbell come back to Tottenham.
He got hammered, didn't he?
That was,
but you know the funny thing? I watched the thing. They said he wasn't quite expecting it.
It was honestly.
Well, really, mate.
Do you know he's got that statistic where he's never ever gone for a transfer fee in his life? Everywhere he was at Newcastle, Portsmouth, Arsenal, Tottenham. Never. So he's either gone on a free. So yeah. To sort himself out in every move. Never once someone paid, we'll just pay 50 million, because he was one hell of a good player.
Yeah,
wasn't
he was brilliant. He was one of the best in the country.
I think he was world class.
Yeah.
Oh, he was good. He was brilliant.
Yeah, what a partnership they had, him and Ferdinand at England.
Yeah.
I can't think of many better centre back partnerships than the country's ever had.
Look at what we've got now. You know, a different class, yeah.
Right, one last question, then quick one. The one that I had in the pad but I didn't ask, just to finish it off. You're going past King's Cross, the pick up point. You're heading towards the lights, towards Euston Road.
Oh, you can't ask him this.
At what point do you send the job to the rank?
Oh.
Now, between the traffic light and the rank, at what point? I'd
send it back by the, is it the Evening Standard where they put up?
Yeah, do you think that's the cut-off point?
Yeah, but anything past that, I'm thinking
a couple of cabs before the lights, I think it's my job. Anything before that, yeah, I think you're a good shout there with Evening Standard.
I think it depends if the potential passenger has a club foot.
Get in, mate.
That's a great way of doing it. Imagine shouting out to the others. No, she's got a club foot.
Elephant's foot, mate. Elephant's foot.
I've had a few drivers do it to me, and they're going, I know, they're only going around the corner, I'm doing you a favour.
And they're going around the corner with a standstill.
I remember pulling up to a lady once with crutches on, and going, what have you done to your leg, love? And she went, I'm disabled. And I'm like,
I was bored, mate.
Where are we going with this one?
Yeah.
I was like, right, cul-de-sac, I must reverse out of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a problem.
I love the club foot one, that's good, Sean, I'm using that. See how she's got a club foot.
Right. So I think we've learned a bit about Nicky. He's one of my best mates, so I know him pretty well.
All right.
And from what I've known,
and has he done himself justice?
I think he has. Yeah. Nicky's a bit of a closed book, really. He plays his cards pretty close to his chest. So I wasn't expecting to get tons out of him, but he's a good bloke, and I know him to be a very classy cabbie.
All right. Would
we all agree? Classy cabbie.
Well done, thank
you for being our first guest.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Brilliant.
That's it, folks. You've been listening to the inaugural show of Cab Class with Gary, Mark and myself. Now, if you're a cab driver and you don't mind having a go, maybe you've got a story to tell and you don't mind us digging around into your past just a little bit, then get in touch. You can talk to any one of us, guys. Alternatively, you can DM me on Twitter at Sean Paul Day or at London Taxi Radio. You can even email us cabclass@gmail.com. Now, as it's the Christmas spirit, we're going to play you out with a Christmas-themed tune. But all that is left for us to say here at Cab Class is, have a good time. Till next time.
I'm planning for a shite Christmas.
It's finally here. Now that's what I call a Corona Christmas.
I'm socially distant.
The shot in the arm we've all been waiting for.
I've got my gear on.
Christmas hit after Christmas hit.
The lockdown was over.
Lovingly ruined to help you not celebrate this Christmas.
Oh baby, this COVID outside.
This long play double cassette CD comes with special 2 meter gaps between every song.
This comes to pass.
Johnny Mathis.
When a mask is worn.
Christmas favorites like
Sanitizer's coming to town.
And even Boris himself.
Ba 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 ba, tis the season to be jolly bloody careful. Tra la 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 la.
Okay. Oh. Easter.
And a special message to anyone thinking of venturing out.
Driving's banned for Christmas.
Plus, Frosty got furloughed.
Frosty was furloughed, but he still got loads of cash.
The perfect accompaniment for the party you won't be having.
We're not allowed a party tonight. In case the cops turn up, fight us all £1,000 and kick us all outside.
Plus the biggest event of the year, courtesy of Dominic Cummings.
Cummings drove to Durrumpa-pum-pum.
Grandma's got to quarantine till Christmas, 'cause she flew to Benidorm last week.
Here comes more applause, here comes more applause every Thursday night.
And just released
Pfizer's vaccine.
4 months of school free, school meals,
2 weeks at home, stay up.
The most contagious collection of Christmas songs ever recorded.
Stop the cabinet, stop the cabinet, stop the cabinet briefings.
Now that's a Corona Christmas, the perfect antidote to 2020.
Maybe it's COVID, who's to say? This cough won't go away. Can you stay 6 feet away?
Streaming live now from a 5G phone mask near you.
Yeah!